We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, greet two or three people this morning and let them know that you love them and that you're glad they're in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, gentlemen. Praise the Lord, everybody. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. How many know that you're above? Say it with me, I am above and not beneath. Say with me, I am blessed in the city and in the field. When I lie down, when I raise up all day long, I am the blessed of the Lord. I am the anointed of God. I walk in the power of God. I am so blessed, I can't hardly stand it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You believe that this morning? All right. Joel chapter 2 this morning, please, as we continue our series in the book of Joel. I believe that this is a prophetic word going out to the body of Christ to bring God's people in alignment with what the Holy Spirit is doing on the earth. I believe that this word today is a very sobering word. It is a word that is speaking to those who have ears to hear. We must have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying in this hour. I believe that there is a restoration of the fire of God that is being released into those whose wood is ready to be kindled. I believe that God is speaking and restoring the fathers toward the children and the children toward the fathers. I believe that God is beginning to create a sense of Holy Ghost responsibility, if you will, upon local churches and pastors. I believe it's because we are in what Peter said, the last days. Amen? The last days. Joel chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse 23. Joel chapter 2 and verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. He has given you the former rain faithfully. Everybody say, former rain. Former rain. He will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Say with me, latter rain. Let me stop right there and declare this. In Genesis, the Lord said, I could not find a man to till the earth. Until God could find a man to till the earth, there would not be an outpouring of rain. Up until that point, the earth was watered by a mist. God was looking for a man that he would till the earth. In other words, be productive on the earth. And when a man was found, the heavens would be opened. Let me just make this declaration. Men, I'm speaking to you today. God is looking for a man. He's looking for a man. Not that he's not looking and using women. Glory be to God. If it wasn't for the women, we wouldn't have a church. But thank God, he's looking for a man who will become productive in the kingdom of God, who will begin to impart the blessing of God out of his belly onto his children, who began to tell his children who they are, give them an identity, that they would wrestle with God like Jacob and understand they're no longer deceivers. They're no longer those that are caught up in perversion. They're no longer those that would commit adultery. They're no longer drunkards or those that use drugs. No, no, that's the world's identity, and that's what the world has spoken about you, men, that you are a failure, that you're not able to do what God has called you to do. But listen, God wrestled with Jacob throughout the night, and he said, I no longer call you Jacob. I call you Israel. You're no longer a deceiver, but now you are a prince. And God is looking for men on this earth who will rise up in this hour and declare, I don't care what people have called me or what I've called myself. I'm not concerned about the world. I'm more concerned about God. That God has called me to rule and reign with him. And I'm going to take my rightful place. Every man in this place that believes that, wants to embrace that, is ready for that. I want you to stand on your feet and I want to pray a prayer blessing over you. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I declare over every man in this room, Lord God, that they will never be the same from this day forth. That, Father, there is a move of the Holy Ghost upon them that is causing their insides to turn around, their mind to be altered, their priorities to be adjusted. I'm praying, oh God, even now, that the prayer of blessing, even as Jacob rose up in his deathbed and said, I cannot die before I call my sons, until I lay hands upon them, until I begin to declare what they are and who they are. So, Father, today I walk in that stead. Many of us have not had fathers to tell us who we are. Many of us have not had fathers to give us an identity. So I lay hands spiritually upon every man in this room. And I declare, oh God, that they are above and not beneath. That they are more than conquerors in Christ. That they are priests of their home. That they are mighty in the Spirit. That they are royal priesthood on the earth. And they are destined to rule and reign with Christ. And I call them into their rightful place in the kingdom of God. No longer wandering, no longer out there on the peripheral, but moving into the realm of the Spirit, into the inner core of God's kingdom. And I declare, Lord God, that they are princes in the kingdom of God and standing with Christ to rule in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we continue to read in verse 23, or verse 24. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. Verse 25, I will restore to you the years. Look at somebody and say, God's going to restore some stuff to you. How many are excited about that? Have you lost anything? I've lost some stuff. But I want you to know that God is going to restore some stuff to you. He declared it in His Word. Watch this. He said, the crawling locust, that which has been, the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. Continued reading in verse 26. And my people shall never be put to shame. Verse 27. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. Watch this again. My people shall never be put to shame. That's the second time God said it. Verse 28, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Let me just declare to you right now, your little children that you've been grooming in your home, those that have been playing too much video games, those that have been caught up in the things of this world, swinging bats at little league practice and kicking balls at soccer, those little kids, God said in the last day, I will pour out my Spirit upon them. They will begin to prophesy. You've got little prophets and little prophetesses in your home and you don't even know it. God's waiting for you to release them. Men, it's your time to come into your call. God says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. But until I find a man to till the ground that God gave you, my God, I'm prophesying right now. The ground that God gave you is your children, is your house. And God said, when I can find a man that will begin to produce in that life, begin to break up the fallow ground, begin to speak the word to them, then I will open up the heavens and pour out of that heaven the Spirit of God. And I believe today, mark it down, even as I was in Uganda, walking in the middle of a field, cows on my right and chickens on my left, and a little boy that was 8 or 9 or 10 or 11 years old began to walk up to me, and his glow on his face was just something that captivating. And I looked at him and along with the guy that was with me, and we said, what's your favorite Bible verse? And because we saw him carrying a Bible in the middle of Africa, in the middle of a field among cows and chickens. He was on his way to church. This wasn't a Sunday. This was a Thursday. He was going up for morning prayer. And we called on him and said, what's your favorite verse? We thought, well, God so loved the world. He began to bring out 2 Corinthians chapter 5, talking about that Christ was sent into the world to reconcile sinners unto himself. He began to preach the word of the Lord to me. And God began to speak to my spirit. He said, I've got little Brians all over the world, in the continent of Africa and in Asia, in South America and North America. I've got them everywhere. And I'm looking for a man who will till the ground and bring out of their spirit what I've deposited in them. Ladies and gentlemen, we are thinking too low of our kids. They're the ones that are going to begin to produce signs and wonders. That's why Elevate is so important. That's why a Holy Ghost children's ministry is vital in a local church. I'm telling you, you're not just raising lawyers and doctors and secretaries and those that are going to go into their own businesses. You are raising up in this last hour prophets and prophetesses, those that God said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon. If we'll only begin to release the identity of who God's called them to be. I'm telling you, this is a great hour in which we live. How many are glad to be alive in this hour? Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am glad to be a part of this kingdom. He said, I'm going to pour out into your sons and daughters. They shall prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams and young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on your maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I could preach right there, but God help me, I'll never get through this message just reading the text. But the Bible says it doesn't matter where you've come from and who you are. The world may have said that you don't qualify. You don't have a seminary degree. You don't have a Bible college degree. You're not somebody of great importance. You're not a politician. You're not a name that's recognizable to those in the generation in which you serve. God said, that's all right. You just might be a men servant or a maid servant. You just might be an ordinary Joe or just an ordinary Mary. Just doing your work every day, washing dishes, cleaning up the house and changing, diapers. And you might be going to work and coming back. God said, wait a minute, don't you think that this is just for those with great name recognition and great ministry, those that play basketball or those that play football? This is not just for those that preach from pulpits. This is for the ordinary person that lives on an ordinary street in an ordinary community. God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon them as well. And ladies and gentlemen, all we've got to do is be in the place to receive from the Lord that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know today that your life is about to change. Verse 30, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. This is speaking of the battle of Armageddon, before the coming and the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, verse 32, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I tell you today, when I was in Africa with the great apostle Shabian Breet, he'll be here October 22nd of October on Sunday morning to preach the word of the Lord. This is a man who has been directly responsible for planting over 7,000 churches last year alone. I want you to know something. Don't judge him by his age. He's only 32 years old, but he had been groomed from the very time that Doug, you and your wife's children have been sitting on the pew. He'd been groomed. There's been prophetic utterances that have come into his life. God raised him up. If you want to see a modern day Paul, this is a man who God has used to go into nations and raise up churches. He will be here. He will begin to declare to you some of the great testimonies. Here are some of them right now I'm going to give you. Number one, God is beginning to manifest himself to Muslims all over the world. You say, what do you mean manifest? Jesus literally is making personal appearance to key Muslim leaders all over the world. You're not going to hear that on CNN. You're not going to read that over there in the newspaper, and nobody's going to report that even on other news channels. But I want you to know, this is actual testimony. The church I preached in on that Sunday morning when I was in Uganda, a pastor of great authority and power, he was the man that used to be a Muslim. God appeared to him in his house. He told me himself. He said, Jesus appeared to me and I saw the Son of God like lightning. And he told me to serve him. He said, I turned my back on my Muslim faith and I embraced Jesus. Today, I operate in signs and wonders. God has used me to raise up three people from the dead. I have seen miracles and mighty signs and wonders in my life. And Chabian began to tell us that in Ethiopia and in Sudan and in Iraq and in all over the world, in Iran, Muslims are going to bed at night with Allah on their mind. And in the middle of the night, God is coming into that bedroom and shaking them. And suddenly they're seeing Jesus. They're going to have to make a choice and make a decision. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is part of the end time pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the world. And you and I are part of it. Glory be to God. Come on, thank Jesus. Hallelujah. For in Mount Zion in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance. I want to declare to you today, you may have struggled with cigarettes. You may have struggled with alcohol. You may have struggled with pornography. You may have struggled with unforgiveness. But the Bible says in this last day, as the Holy Spirit is being poured out, those that have had need of deliverance shall be delivered. I want you to know it's not something that might happen, maybe will happen. It will take place because God prophesied as the Holy Ghost is being poured out, deliverance will come. All of this is dependent upon whether or not you and I are ready to get under the outpouring of what God is releasing on the earth. And he tells us that this is the time. Today is the day of salvation. As the Lord said, among the remnant whom the Lord God calls. If you and I are among that remnant today, your life is about to change for the miraculous. Your life is about to get real exciting. Your life is about to take a sharp right turn. You thought you'd live out your days ordinarily. You thought you'd just be the normal Christian you've always been. Guess what? God's got other plans. God has an agenda, and His agenda will not be thwarted. It'll not be pushed aside in this hour. It doesn't matter. God has a remnant. I don't care how carnal the church becomes. I don't care how distant Christians become. I don't care how many backslide and turn away from God. God has a remnant. And He said, in that remnant that will cause a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost to be poured out upon this earth. Lift your hands up with me and tell the Lord, say, Jesus, I want to be a part of that remnant. Hallelujah. Man, look at somebody and say, I want to be a part of that remnant. Joel has a special message for us. He said, I want you to be glad. I want you to get excited, church. I want you to be glad. And being glad is an attitude and an action of a favorable circumstance. I want you to know that there's favor on the way, that there is favor hovering over your life. I want you to know that right now, God is already ordering circumstances around you. You say, yeah, but if you knew my week, if you'd have known what's gone on the last month, my God, this year I can hardly wait till it's over. Listen, that's in the natural. But I want you to peer through the veil of the natural and begin to see in the realm of the spiritual. God has for you favor that's coming your way. He said, I want you to be glad. Hallelujah. It's the precursor. It's the beginning. It's the foretaste. It's the forerunner of what God is about to do. He said, I'm going to put unusual gladness in the hearts of my people, even when everything around them is falling apart, even when everything around them is deteriorating, I will put gladness in their heart. You know you're part of the remnant when? Woo! We ought to write a book about it. They say, you know you're a redneck when? We ought to write a book. You know you're part of the remnant when? You know you're part of the remnant when? You ain't got no money, you're still happy. Hallelujah. Everything's busted around you and you're still happy. God said, I want you to know it's an attitude and an action of favorable circumstance. I want you to look at Psalm 102 and verse 1 and 3, I believe it is. Look at it with me. Psalm 102. Hallelujah. Psalm 102 and verse 13, that's the verse. For you will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. You know the kickoff this afternoon that opens up the brown season? Huh? You know the brown season kicks off at 1 o'clock. It's a set time. It's been arranged by the National Football League. It's all been arranged and been coordinated by the coverage on the television. Everybody knows it's been printed in the newspaper yesterday of the station and the time when the kickoff will occur. God said, I've got a set time for favor to come to my people. Joel prophesied 2,500 years ago. He began to declare that there will be a set time where I will release favor upon the people of God. Therefore, be glad, O ye remnant of God. You are about to have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost that come upon you. And the set time has come. Hallelujah. And then he tells us to do this. Don't be just glad, just rejoice. In other words, learn to delight in. Cheer up. Have some joy of the Lord. In other words, the Lord is setting up His people for great increase, and circumstances are being arranged in your favor. So why ye be so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. God is able. Amen? Lift up your hand and just declare, Father, I believe You're able. I believe You're able, O God, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that which I could think or ask. I know You're on the throne. God, don't look any longer. I'm Your man. I'm Your woman. Father God, let me till the ground. And I pray that You would open up the windows of heaven and allow it, oh God, to be poured out upon our lives. You see, there's a supernatural provision. That's what Joel was talking about in verses 23 to 24. He said, God has given faithfully. He said, I've given faithfully. Joel is pointing out all that God has already done for you. He said, I've given you what? I've given you the former rain. Former rain does something. It causes a seed to germinate. I just want to declare over some people here today, your life's been changing because you're having to make some room for something that's growing up inside of you. Some of you didn't even know that you got planted. But you've been here long enough, the word has been coming forth, and some of it's gone on stony ground. Some of it's gone on thorny ground. Some of it's gone on the wayside. But some of it, glory to God, has got into your belly, and it's found some good ground. You didn't even know you were pregnant. But now you know this. God said, I've got a seed that's growing up in you. He said, I've given you the former rain. The former rain was the spring rain. It was the gentle rain. It was the rain that caused that which has been planted to begin to germinate, break out of its shell, and begin to cause life. God says, I'm going to cause people to break out of their shell. The life and identity that you have had is going to be over. And I'm going to give you a new life. It's going to begin to sprout. See if I, even the Lord, will not do this. God is beginning to germinate some things in your life. God is germinating new marriage. God is germinating new finances. God is germinating new joy and new gladness of heart. God is germinating new purpose. God is calling and germinating new individuals into the kingdom of God. You see, we, not Charles Simpson, Charles Finney, not the Wesley brothers, not some of the greats of the past. God has waited for the set time for you and for me to be here on the earth. You see, you are the greats of the past in the present. It is that anointing that God has been waiting to pour out upon you. So there's been a gentle rain. It just germinated. He doesn't want to wash the seed away, but you better get ready. He said, I'm not only going to give you the former rain, but I'm going to give you the latter rain. And the latter rain is a gully washing rain. It's a rain that will cause an abundance of harvest to come forth out of your life. That thing that has been sprouted has been all by itself. It's been cute. It's been just, you know, alone, and it's been manageable. But get ready. This outpouring of the latter rain is going to come, and it's going to cause such an outbreak of your life that suddenly you're not going to have room for yourself. God says it's like a pot, it's like a plant in a potted soil that when the root system gets too big for the container, it either cracks the container or it begins to grow outside of its containment. And that's what the Holy Ghost is doing in the latter rain. God said, you've been able to contain this little germinated seed in your life long enough. You've been able to live and sow as the seed. But God said, there's coming a time in this last day, and I'm just telling you what Joel said. Joel said, in the last day, in my remnant, there will be a time like you'll be like a potted plant. And you've been able to live right alongside with the seed that's been in you. But I'm going to give you former rain. It's going to cause that seed to grow and take over the entire pot. I just want you to know that you and I are going to have to die. Either we're going to have to move out or God is not going to be able to move in. There's no more longer a time when we can coexist together. The latter rain is being poured out, and God said, I'm going to give exponential growth to those who have been lying dormant. But you haven't been lying dormant. You've just been beneath the surface. You've been breaking out of your shell. There's been sprouting taking place. Nobody's noticed it, but God knows it because He's the one that gives the increase. I want you to know today that you are about to receive a huge, abundant harvest in your life. Your life will be an abundant harvest for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said the latter rain and the former rain together is going to be so awesome. God is going to put those together as one. And here's what Amos said about it. I love this scripture. This is what Amos said. He said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. I mean, you just as soon get the thing in the ground and you're going to have a harvest. You can't hardly plant before you get a harvest. And I want you to know God's doing it through our children. God is showing signs and wonders through our children. I want you to know that it's not something that is out of the ordinary. It's not something that's just happening and it's cute. Can I tell you what's happening? I mean, little children are beginning to call upon the name of God and declare miraculous things. My five-year-old grandson, he was talking about, I heard this Thursday, I don't even know the whole story, but he was talking about a plant outside of his house and how he wanted that plant to be nurtured and grow, and there was nothing on the plant, and he kept telling his mother, this plant is going to bloom. It is my plant. And he went out the next morning, and guess what? There was a blossom on the plant. in 24 hours, the blossom came. You say, well, that's cute. That's just a little kid. That's just fate. That's just arrangement. Well, his little brother came and he ripped off the blossom. And Creed said, well, you took off the blossom of what God just did. And he said, that's all right. I'll ask God and he'll do it again. He'll do it again. So the next morning, he went out there and guess what? The one that was ripped off was all shriveled and died. But guess what was on the plant? Another blossom. You say, well, this is just peculiar things. These are just things that are just happening. No, God is beginning to show us, if we'll only listen and only look around us, what God is putting in the hearts of our children. Men, listen to me. The game's not that important. I love watching games. The scores are not that important. Your little hobbies and your little golf swing, you're never going to perfect it anyway. You've been shooting in the 80s and 90s for the last 20 years. You're not going to get any better. You're not going on the PGA circuit. You might as well forget it. You've never bowled a perfect game anyway. You're not going to get there. You might as well press in to God and let God do some powerful things in your life. So he said, I'm going to do this. The mountain shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall overflow with it. You see, the Bible says in verse 24, the floor. Everybody say the floor. The floor. The floor shall be full of wheat. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat. The vats shall overflow with new wine and new oil. God said the floor shall be full of wheat. Can I tell you what Joel was seeing in the spirit? Joel was seeing wheat on the floor. The floor represents the earth. The floor represents the earth. Joel was seeing this, wheat all over the earth. Wheat all over the earth. The Bible tells us that wheat is symbolic of the righteous. Wheat is symbolic of those that are born again. Those that are following after Jesus. Joel saw in this last day the earth not full of Islam, not full of any other religion, not full of denomination, not full of secularism, not full of politics. He saw the earth full of wheat, the righteous remnant of God. Church, are you ready for maybe next Sunday to have 3,000 people show up at this church? Are you ready right now to see every one of your wayward sons and daughters come running and knocking on your door and saying, I can't stand it any longer. I've got to give my life to God. I need to serve. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for little children, 7 and 8 years old, to come home with a note from their teacher from school and saying, your little Johnny laid hands on this little girl and she got healed? We don't know, but you can't preach Jesus in our schools. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for the extraordinary things to begin to happen? Joel said, the earth shall be full of wheat. Hallelujah. I just want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in an exciting moment. If you're bored with God, then you're not serving the right one. If you're bored with church, you're not serving the right church. Come on, I hate church too. Church is boring, right? I mean, I want to be in relationship with Jesus. I don't want denominations. I don't want traditions. I don't want those things that have held me back and held me down and try to create an identity that limits me. I want the full gospel. We talked about full gospel, but we haven't lived fully. We've lived on a half tank. We've lived on partial fullness, but there's a season coming where God said, I'm going to pour out the full gospel upon all of God's people. The earth shall be full of wheat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you see it? Do you feel it? Do you sense the lost? That's why we've got to go out in the streets in October. That's why you need to go to your streets that you live and knock on your doors of your neighbors and tell them that Jesus loves them. Why? Because every day they're dying and slipping into hell. 25,000 children died of starvation yesterday. 25,000 today are dying a slow death of starvation. And 25,000 more will die tomorrow. Every day that we live, every day that we overeat, every day that we have that sixth meal, every day that we eat the candy, and every day that we go forth for that abundance in our life, 25 more thousand die just of starvation. My wife and I watched a movie that's very, very on shaking. I mean, it just causes you to have to think, God, what is happening in this world? It's called Hotel Rwanda. If you've not watched it, it's startling, it's shocking, and it's about the genocide of that which happened in Rwanda. But it's not anything different that happened in Uganda with Idi Amin, and millions of people were killed mercilessly, and how they were driving from one location to another when the revolution had occurred, and so many people were killed on the highway that they were literally driving, and they couldn't tell what it was because of a thick fog, and they were driving over a bumpy road, and they thought, well, what is all this? What's on the road? And when they got out of the car, maybe some of you have seen the film, they came out and they saw dead bodies in the thousands were all over the highways where they had been mercilessly macheted in pieces and massacred, and they were literally driving over these dead bodies. And as I saw that, Holy Ghost came to me and said, that is what this earth is all about. People today, we go to church, we drive to the mall, we drive over to our friend's house, we drive to go to vacation, and we go here and we go there, and we don't even see it. But in the spirit, we are driving over dead bodies that have died in their own sin and are destined for hell. My God, if we'd only feel one of the jolts, if we only sense one of the cries of he that is not yet dead under the weight of our own life, maybe somehow it would change us and alter us to believe that maybe God has placed us on this planet to do just a little more than build up our 401k and maybe just do a little more than just have some kind of a nice lifestyle with two cats and a couple of cars and a white picket fence and a nice house in suburbia, USA. Maybe God has called us to go to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. You say, well, I'm fearful. I don't know what they'll think of me. That's our problem. There's too much of me and not enough God. But there's a day coming where the latter rain and the former rain will come together. And God said, I'm going to take that pot, that life of that person where there was enough of you in it where you could coexist with what I planted in you. But I'm going to cause it to germinate and grow so fast, you're going to have to make a decision. It's going to be all of me and none of you. How many are ready today to say all of God and none of me? I know some of you might not be ready for that yet, but I know you're going to be. That's why you're here. It's not a mistake that you're still in this ministry. It's not a mistake that you're here this morning. God gave me a word. God put in my belly a word to begin to declare to you and to me. It's time to take off the glasses, the blinders, to recognize that there's more in this life than us. It's not about us. It's all about those who are driving over every day, who are lost and dying and on their way to hell, and you hold the key to their future in heaven. Hallelujah. You see, on that threshing floor of wheat, there will be a winnowing fork. There will be a winnowing fork. And we find that in Matthew chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. And the Bible says, he who is coming after me is greater. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. There have been some great preachers who have preached on the fire of the Holy Ghost. But can I tell you what Joel was talking about? He was talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost, like empowerment. He was talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost in judgment. We know that in Matthew chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, those that come to Christ, those who are coming to the church, there'll be some wheats and there'll be some tares. But on that day, God will take his winnowing fork and he will begin to separate the sheep from the goats. And God didn't show me that in Uganda for nothing. I'm standing outside of a humble church. I don't know if I showed it to you or not. And the sheep was on the side of the house of God. And I looked at the sheep and I took a picture, and suddenly here come a goat. A goat began to walk around the side of the church building and sat down right next to the sheep. And the Holy Ghost grabbed hold of me and he said, that's my kingdom. The goats are among the sheep. Go back and preach this gospel like you've never preached it before. Begin to declare, thus saith the Lord and the prophets of the old, how they declared that in this last day there will be those that are wheat and those that are tares. But there's still time. There's still a moment for you to have transformation. You don't have to live your life under disguise. You don't have to get used to being a goat. You don't have to be that person who's willing to sit next to a goat. You can be a Holy Ghost man and a Holy Ghost woman. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day of repentance. Today is an opportunity for us to get into the program of God Almighty. And I believe today that the winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will cause some to be full of the Holy Ghost, and others will be devoured with unquenchable fire. Because that is the last days. But he tells us there's going to be supernatural restoration in verses 25 to 27. supernatural restoration. In 27, God says he's about to prove the fact that he's the one who said it. And two times he said, my people shall not be ashamed. What he's saying there is you're not going to be disappointed. You see, some of us have this in our mind that if we give fully to God, 100%, and go crazy for Jesus, we'll lose our joy. We won't be able to enjoy life. I mean, I wanted to get married. I wanted to go to the parties. I wanted to dance. I wanted to boogie down on Friday night. I want to have some fun. I want to get high. I want to drink. I want to do some things. I like this. I mean, I just like it. I don't think God cares. Okay, I'm talking to you. I want you to know you're not going to lose anything. God says you won't be disappointed. In other words, you won't be ashamed. He said it twice, not once, but twice. Anytime God says things once, we ought to listen. But when he says it twice, you better bend both ears. He said, I want you to know you're not going to be disappointed. Can I just make a plea to everybody in this room? Men, if you've been holding back, you've not been able to give to God everything. You've been looking at world, have one foot in and one foot out. You've been sitting on a fence. And I understand that because this world is seducing. And I understand also that the church has been weak and we've been asleep and we're not awake. Wake to the call of God. I understand that. We're really responsible. But the clarion call is going forth even today. That shrill sound, that trumpet voice of Isaiah 58 is declaring, come. The Spirit and the Bride are saying, come. And so this is your hour, and you're hesitating. You're saying, I don't know that if I do this, I will lose everything. I won't be happy. God said, I will restore all that the locusts have eaten, all that the swarming locusts have eaten. Everything that you have lost in life, I will bring back to you. He said, what am I going to do? I'm going to take everything that was stolen. I want to take your innocence that was stolen from you in your childhood, and I'm going to give it back to you. Some of you have lived with that for years. Some of you have lived with the haunting memories of those touches and of that abusive thing that came into your life as a little girl. And God said, I'm going to restore that to you. God said, I'm going to come back and give you that brokenhearted piece of their life back to you again. I'm going to restore your self-esteem, your worth, your dignity, your future. I'm going to give you peace of mind. You will not be disappointed. I want you to tell four or five people around you, you won't be disappointed if you give it all to God. Come on, tell somebody around you, you won't be disappointed if you give it all to God. This is your day to give it all to God. Hallelujah. The psalmist said in Psalm 37 and 25, I have been young and now I'm old. I've not ever seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Verse 18, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. We are living in an evil time, but don't you grow weary. Don't you get fearful. Don't you think about how we're going to make it. God said, even in the evil time, you will not be disappointed. Watch this. He says, and on those days of famine, they shall be satisfied. You say, well, what are we going to do if there's no water, if there's no food? What are we going to do if our nation comes under attack? I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to be full of God and none of you. And God said, even in the evil time, you'll be not disappointed. Even in the time of famine, you shall be satisfied. In other words, God says, I'm going to meet your need. If he has to cause rain to come down and form manna on the earth, God's going to feed your baby. God's going to feed your children. God's going to feed you in the middle of the struggle, in the middle of the night. Listen to me. God has a plan, and nobody can thwart that plan. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding, but wholly and fully accept the Lord. How many are ready to believe Jesus in this house? Are you ready to believe Jesus? Come on, give the Lord a thunderous shout. Give the Lord a thunderous praise. Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. My God is able. My God is able. It's good to know that God can. But it's better to know that God has. Come on, say it with me. It's good to know that God can. But it's better to know that God has. Tell somebody next to you, it's good to know that God can. Oh, but it's better to know that God has. Hey, 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 it's better to know that God has. My God has delivered me. My God has healed me. My God has done for me what no man could do. It's better to know God has than God can. We've been in the God can mode. We've been in the God can. God can do anything. God can if he wants to. God can. I want you to know we're shifting. There is a move from God can to God has. We'll begin to declare through the streets. Look what the Lord has done. It's not what the Lord can do, but it's what God has done in the lives of His people. This is what the Bible says in verses 28 to 31. He said, I'm going to pour out of my spirit so huge and so big. I found out something this morning. I turned the shower on. Oh, that shower looked warm and it looked inviting. I saw the steam coming up from the water. I saw the condensation on the glass. I said, ooh, I bet you that feels good. I bet you that's going to be refreshing. I bet you that's going to clean me up. I bet you I'm just going to feel revived after I get into that shower. But you know what? Looking at it, seeing it, smelling it, feeling it didn't do anything for me other than make me hungrier. In other words, make me desirous to get up under it. There is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Some of you have been seeing it. Some have been feeling it. The condensation is even on the windows of your life, but you refuse to get up under it. God's saying you can't have it unless you get under it. There's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in a place on the earth today. You say, where is it? It's right next to you, but you can't get in it unless you get in it. In other words, you've got to make a choice to get up under it. Some say, well, I don't understand what they're feeling. I don't understand what they're doing. You know, these people are just crazy. They're just fanatic. They're just gone beyond what you have to do. No, no, no. All we've done is got up under it. And God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. But flesh, you and I are going to have to get under the glory of God and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Joel said this in verse 28. He said, in this last day, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon your sons and your daughters. He talked about old men. He talked about young men. But I want you to see something in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Because on the day of Pentecost, something happened. Some of you are wondering, why are people walking up here with green envelopes? What are they doing? I'm assuming they're putting something up there of a petition of prayer. Maybe they're giving a seed offering. Maybe because the word of God is affecting them and they're saying, you know what, without sacrifice, without some investment, I can't receive this word. So that's what they're doing. For those of you that are unfamiliar with that practice, it's not that we're bidding anybody to do it. It's moved on by the Holy Spirit. And maybe God's moving on you to do something. I don't know. Maybe you want to write down some sin and put it on the altar. You don't have to put your name on it. Maybe God's saying, give an offering, give a sacrifice, give an investment into the kingdom of God upon this earth, and I'll do for you what also is being preached today. Make a commitment to be a remnant member, that you are going to join the club, in other words. But look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 16, Peter began to declare to those that had gathered on that day, he said, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the book of Acts, the birthing of the New Testament church, the Holy Ghost began to refer now back to the book of Joel. See, the book of Joel is paramount in our understanding to understand what's happening on the nations of the earth right now. God's saying this, and it shall come to pass in the last days that God will pour out his my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Now notice something. Peter says it shall come to pass when? In the last days. What does Joel say? It shall come to pass afterward. Now, there seems to be a discrepancy there. We say that Joel said it's going to come afterward, doesn't mention the last days, but Peter says it's going to happen in the last days. So was Peter usurping the authority of earlier scripture? Why doesn't it say the very same thing? Maybe that doesn't bother you. That bothered me. I said, God, I want to know, why did Joel say afterward and Peter said in the last days? So I began to ask the Holy Ghost, and this is what he showed me. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, and this is what the Bible says. God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Now, He spoke to them in the Old Testament, how? By the prophets. And how did God speak in the last days? Through His Son. So we know that there was a time of the prophets, and now there's a time in the last days. The time of the prophet is speaking concerning that which is to come. In other words, he was pointing afterward. After what? After the time of the prophets of the Old Testament, this is what God said I'm going to do. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Peter, who was now after the time, said this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in the last days. In other words, we're now here where Joel said we would be. Joel was not there. Joel was forecasting it and he was predicting it. Peter was in it. The outpouring of Joel chapter 2 began on the day of Pentecost. And now we are some almost 2,000 years later in that same last day. The Holy Ghost has been poured out in an increasing amount from that moment. And it's an exponential growth and it's continuing to flow out. And Peter began to prophesy and he began to declare that some powerful things are going to begin to happen. In other words, Joel's prophecy began at Pentecost and will go and proceed to the second coming of Jesus. This is what the Bible says, that all flesh needs to get under the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you and I are going to have to get in the shower. We're going to have to get in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I don't know. What do I have to do to get in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Here's what you have to do. One qualification. You have to die to self. There's not enough room for you and God in the shower. In other words, I have to die. And we have to come in the person of Jesus Christ. No longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And I want you to know today that there is a pouring out of the Spirit of God and a beckoning, a wooing to all of God's people upon the earth, to little Bryans in Uganda, to little children that are going to be moving into that orphanage in India, down in Haiti. Pastors past preaching this morning all across America and across the land. The words of the Lord are beginning to go forth and echo and bounce off and reverberate through this generation. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time for you to cross that line. Today is the moment for you to make a commitment to God seriously like you've never done before. If you've ever pressed into God before, it'll be unlike any other time previous. Don't try to measure it in the times past of your own personal revival. It'll be unparalleled. It'll be unmarked. It'll be a moment of such purity and such holiness that there will be such power publicly that we will not even believe it if we had not seen it ourselves. We'll begin to see our own lives so transformed that people will have to be reintroduced to us because the person that they knew has so radically changed and been altered to the person that you're becoming. You'll have to catch up with yourself because the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will be so significant. It'll be so life-changing and life-altering that there will be such structural change in your entire life. Everything will be reprioritized. You'll talk different. You'll pray different. Your priorities will be altered. You'll begin looking at things through the eyes of God. You'll have compassion moments. God will set you up for divine appointments. Moments in your life that if you'll commit to this, suddenly God will give you opportunity to share Christ like you've never done before. You won't have fear. You'll walk in power. You'll have anointing. You'll begin to declare to even those that have had great authority and those that may have intimidated you in the past, you'll begin to speak to them as if they're your little child, as if they're your best friend. You'll be undaunted by the intimidation of man. God said, but you must get under the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters, Galatians 3 and 28 says, there's neither male nor female in Christ. Listen, when God created Adam, God did not create woman. God created Adam, and in Adam was a woman. Everything Adam needed was within. He says, it's not good that you be alone or all one. I created you in my image. I am one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. And there is none other. And he created Adam in the same image. One, body, soul, and spirit. But he said, it's not good that you be all one. And so out of you, I will take your rib and create what's in you. And it shall be woman. And she shall be a helper to you. And Jesus upon the cross, dying and giving up his life for us, in him was you and I. Christ came to the earth as a baby, Emmanuel, God with us. And on that day that that centurion thrust that spear in his side, and out came blood and water. You were there. And I was there. And in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And the devil thought he was bringing destruction to the Messiah, the man-child, the God-man on earth. And in essence, what he was doing in his sleep was creating multiple sons and daughters of God. Let me tell you something, young ladies. I don't care what religion has told you, that you belong barefoot and pregnant and inside the nursery. They are misguided men who have tried to dominate and suppress you. You are created in the very image of God. And Philippi Bible tells us about Philip's daughters. There were four of them, and they all prophesied. And they began to declare, thus saith the Lord. And Hadassah, one night with the king, coming out October 13th, we're going to buy out the whole theater. You need to be there. Tina and I was there this last week, and we saw the 25 minutes of this movie. It is one of the most dynamic movies I've ever seen. It speaks prophetically to this generation. It was a young woman by the name of Esther who knew who she was. And one of the greatest quotes of that entire movie that I saw in 25 minutes was this, speaking of David and his great ability as a military might and strength, said this, David did not fight well. He believed well. She believed in who she was. She had an identity that no Babylonian king could alter or change. She had an identity of who she was and what she was destined for. Let me speak to every young person in this room. I'm telling you now, I'm going to speak to your destiny and who you are in God. This world will not alter you or mold you into their conformity. They will not bring their image into your life. You are destined for such a time as this to release the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and begin to prophesy to this world. The Bible said the Spirit and the bride say, come. Whatever you put in your mouth was made and created to rule and reign, not to grumble and complain. We're putting off the things of the flesh and being full of the Spirit. And God's saying, I'm raising up sons and daughters in this last hour that will prophesy truth. Whatsoever you say in Jesus' name shall come to pass. You see, God always has a forerunner to announce the coming move. It was John the Baptist who in the wilderness declared, repent! Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He began to declare to the religious of the day, you whitewashed sepulchers. He began to tell them how they had put so much burden on the people to elevate themselves. And Jesus, coming into that group, he pointed to him and said, there he is, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, walking in perfect obedience, came and stepped into the Jordan. And there as he stepped into the Jordan, he said, John, I want you to baptize me. John said, oh no, Lord, I have need of you baptizing me. He said, oh no, no, that the scripture would be fulfilled. And he took Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect man, began to take him and put him under the water. And he came up out of the water and broke that water, and suddenly the heavens opened and a voice was heard. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. From that moment, Jesus began his ministry on the earth of redemption and reconciliation to those who have been trapped in sin. Let me tell you where you're destined to go. Jordan River, because you and I must as well die to self. It was Jesus who symbolically went into that water. He lived death, burial, and resurrection power. Do you want to be part of this remnant in the last hour? Then you must go to the Jordan. You must bury your life. You must say all of God and none of me. And there the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will come on your life. But this is what the Bible says. Like a dove, the Holy Ghost descended upon Jesus, fell and lighted upon him. That's what we've been looking for. But we've been trying to do it without the Jordan experience. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning we are forerunners, and we're declaring to this generation There's a coming move of the Holy Ghost. There's a coming wave of the Spirit. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Catch it. Catch the wave of the Holy Ghost. Catch it. Don't let it pass you by. Not for a meal. For a bowl of stew, you'd give up your birthright as a covenant man on the earth. For some sexual encounter, for some worldly attainment, for some ideology or philosophy, a bowl of stew, you'd give up your birthright. You say, well, I'm not worthy, Pastor. You don't know. I'm a Jacob. I've been a deceiver. Ah, God's got a plan for that. The wrestling of the Holy Ghost upon your life and my life. He's going to rename you. He's going to give you a new identity. He's going to give you a new purpose. I like the last verse of that text, and I'll close with this. He simply said, Joel said this, and it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. And the Lord said, among the remnant whom the Lord God calls. In other words, before the great coming of the Lord, before the second coming of Christ at Armageddon, there's time for you to be saved. But after the great day of the Lord, there is no more opportunity. There is no more chance. There's not another altar call, not another preacher, not another music playing softly to lure you and move you, not another PowerPoint, not another crusade, not another tract that'll be put in your hand. For on that day, when Christ comes again, those that are without Him, those who have not had His name written upon their hearts and upon their forehead, the Bible says, will be cast into utter darkness and shall forever remain separated from God. But we're not there. We're here. And today is a day of salvation. You and I can be saved. My question to us today is, who in this room? Who in this room that if you were to die today, you're not absolutely sure, you're not persuaded that you'd go to heaven? Think you might, good works. You hope you may. You've read your Bible, but you really haven't died to self. You really haven't received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You faked your way in, and you've maneuvered your way through. But today, if it came down to it, are you saved? Are you saved? Today you can be. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Say, preacher, I need God in my life. I need Jesus. I've never given my life to Christ. I don't know Him. He doesn't know me, but I need to know Him now. Pray for me. I want Christ in my life. The count of three, I'm going to ask you to do something. Identify your need by an upraised hand. I'm not going to tarry long because I've got to close the service. I've done everything I can do. I've shared what God's put in my heart. I've laid it before you. I've given you the word of the Lord. It's now your decision. It's now your time. It's now your moment before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Who knows that Christ would not come again? Today, we don't know that. But you today know that you can be saved. One, two, three. If that's you, lift your hand up. All over this room, if you need that prayer, lift your hand up. Now I want you to stand up. If you lifted your hand up, I want you to stand up. Altar ministers, I want you to come to the front of this altar quickly. If you raise your hand, I want you to get out from where you're standing and join one of these altar ministers here at the front. You say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I'm backslidden. I'm lukewarm. I'm not really serving God. Then I want you to stand up on your feet now. Don't wait. Say, I'm embarrassed. People may think, forget about what people think. I want you to know what God thinks. He loves you, and He's got a plan for you. You say, you know what, I need to recommit my life to Christ. I want you to stand up and then move to the altar right now. Everybody, get on your feet, please. Everybody, get on your feet, please. Everybody, get on your feet, please. I need every Christian to pray. I need every Christian to pray. Would you pray? Would you pray? Please, every Christian, just for one more minute, would you pray that those that need to hear this word, that would repent, that would move forward, that would come to God in a new affirmation of their faith, in a recommitment, a rededication, would move now. This is their moment. This is their time. Would you pray just for 60 seconds? Would you do it? 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 Would you do it now?
To the point I'm overflowing.
Look at somebody to your right or your left. Say, my friend, I will walk that aisle with you. If you need to, just tell me. Just let me know and I'll walk it with you. Would you ask somebody? Just ask them. They're probably right with God, but maybe they're not. How do you know? Ask them.
Former rain was good, Lord, but the latter rain is best. Yes, this is the hour.
Here now, would you reach a hand out to these that have come to pray? Would you reach a hand out? Come on. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Bless them,
Lord. Fill them with your love and mercy.
Anointing.
Thank you, Jesus. Touch them, Lord.
You.
Touch them. Touch them,
let
Jesus.
Me be light.
Touch them.
To
Spirit of living God, touch
world.
Them. The Spirit of living God, bless
come.
Them. Pour out your blessing upon their lives.
We say, come, give Lord.
Them peace. Let them know today how much you love them. In Jesus' name. Now cross the aisle, please. Take somebody by the hand, if you will. Would you be so kind to do that with me? Thank you, Lord. I simply want you to do this. Would you pray for the person on your right and on your left that they would live for God 100%? That's all. Just a simple prayer. Would you do that? Just do that. Just do that. Just a simple prayer. Just a simple prayer. Let them live for God all the days of their life. In Jesus' name. Now break hands. Lift them up to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's worship Jesus for 60 seconds. Come on, give Him glory. Give Him praise. Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how much you're loving Him and His Word and His kingdom. Pray that His kingdom come to earth. That His will be done on earth, but even as it's being done in heaven. Just bless the Lord. Come on, worship, worship, worship. We bless you, Lord. We worship you, Lord.
Yes, let the
Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. We magnify your name, Lord. Give you all glory, give you all praise. For you are an awesome God. You are a mighty God. We love you, Lord. Now let's do something. Let's respond to Jesus
and you will reap the
as if He was coming back right now through the eastern sky. Can we welcome Him? Can we clap our hands and shout? Come on, lift up a shout. Woo! Jesus!
You will reap the
everybody and pray hard, but greet one another on the way out as if we just walked into glory and you're so glad they made it. Greet them like we're in heaven. Hey, I'm so glad you made it. God bless you. We'll see you Thursday night for the Great Prayer Summit. We love you in the Lord.